Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rock Church Podcast. My name is Shane Beeson and you're listening to the Rock Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. We're so glad that you're joining us today. We have a great topic today, pray. That's what we're talking about. Let me introduce you to who's here at the table.
Jacob Krotzenberg.
Angie Preston.
And Michael Erdman.
We're having a good time today. It's Thanksgiving week. We're ready for a special day with our friends and family. Angie, you brought a great sermon last week. We're going to get to next week. Ooh. But right now, we're going to dig into a couple weeks back, the sermon where we talked about prayer. And really, the point of that Sunday was really to encourage people to begin to talk to God, that prayer is about having a relationship with God and hopefully an open and authentic, raw, real relationship with God, and to get people encouraged and inspired to start to talk to Him, start to process with the Lord their whole life, the good, bad, ugly, whatever part, all the parts of life. And so here's my question I want to kick off today to you three here in the room. What is keeping us from prayer? What keeps people from praying, from talking to God?
I would say there's multiple different things depending on your background. I know for me, there was shame. There was...
Oh, that's good.
I wasn't able to come before God because, you know, the things that I had done or whatever, the feelings that I had, they didn't allow me to feel worthy to even pray. And so, well, I have to get either this stuff fixed before I can come into the presence of God, or even He'll listen to me because, well, I'm just a mess. And so I know that was one for me.
Let me ask you this. Why are we worthy?
That would be Jesus. Jesus and His blood and Him being the sacrifice, He gives us the ability to go through the veil. He tore the veil. And the Father, you know, it's the hardest thing for me to put into my brain, but He sees me through that lens and sees me as His son and perfected and sanctified, and I'm able to come and bring my stuff to Him. And so that, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into that here later on in the conversation, but that's, the Psalms are some of the most beautiful things written, because a lot of times David starts out with this wrenching just defeat or sorrow or question or whatever, and he starts out that way, but... And he lays it all out on the floor and says, here's my stuff. But then it always comes back to, but I trust you and I'm here with you and I want whatever you have. And so, I don't know. It was a big shift for me, I know. And yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned Jesus. And, you know, it's by His grace, His mercy, His blood. And all can come before before the Father through Him. And He is the only way, but I love the scripture that says we can boldly come before the throne of grace because of that. And so back to what you're talking about, David, what I love about David is that he acted like a New Testament believer in how he communicated with God.
Absolutely.
He was, and that's what I think God loved about him. It was like that raw authenticity. He didn't come at it with a religious attitude. He just came with all that he had before the Lord, and that's such a special thing.
Yeah, I think for me, I don't know if it's directly shame, but it's definitely fueled by shame, because for me, there is a lot of times there is a lack of boldness. There is a hesitancy of like, I'm not worthy. Like, I'm like, it feels like you need to say the right words. You need to be in the right standing. You need to be like on the up and up. And the, I think that that comes with a relationship, but the relationship doesn't come without prayer. And so that's what I think is so beautiful about the, about Jesus on the cross too, is not only did he like, did he pay the cost for salvation for us to have eternal life, but in this life, he also made the way for us to come into the presence of God. Yeah. So it was so much more about just death on the cross, but it was about our earthly access to God through prayer. Mm-hmm.
I think you mentioned in what you were just saying, an interesting piece of why people don't pray is they feel like they have to have the right words.
Yeah.
And there's some sort of special way to say things, or it has to be done a certain way. And actually, that's another beautiful thing about what David did, is he cried out to God with authenticity. What's interesting is from his point on, a lot of the Jewish culture has taken his Psalms and turned them into daily prayers, mm-hmm. which is great, and it's great to have models in which to pray, but the point of highlighting David's life was that it was raw and authentic. It wasn't a methodology or a perfect wording. And so, and I said this that Sunday, but I don't believe God is looking for a perfect prayer. He's looking for an open and authentic heart. And we see right. that through that example. And we see that through our own lives. Like I, when I think about being a father, and I talked about this a little bit that day, is I don't want rehearsed perfect words where my daughter thinks if she says certain things a certain way that she's going to get something mm-hmm. from me. That's mm-hmm. not a good relationship.
Yeah, that feels yucky.
Yeah, it's manipulative.
Well, yeah.
Right.
And we don't, and in the same way, I'm going to challenge people listening out there. If you think you're going to say a certain thing a certain way to get something from God, that's not really what this is about. That's not a relationship. That's a kind of a quid pro quo kind of a approach where it's like, okay, if I do something just right, I'll get something from you. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way it is. And that's a horrible relationship. And right. we need a real relationship.
Yeah. Before I jump in on mine, I want to tangent Angie for a second and bring you to our youth group girls middle school discussion. I talked with the girls. We were talking about prayer. And actually it came up this week. I said, you know, God doesn't need you to come to him with all of the things that you're supposed to say. He wants you to get mad, and he wants you to be real and honest, and he can handle, I said, he can handle if you get pissed off at him. Mm-hmm. And the eyeballs were like the size of saucers. They were huge. And I just kept looking at this one girl, and her mind was totally blown. And I know her situation. Like, mm-hmm. this is the way, you know, you come before God in this manner, and this is what you're supposed to do. And, you know, holier than thou. And he desires good prayers. He doesn't just want your ugly, but he wants your ugly. He wants your celebration. He wants it all. He wants your real, true self. And I think modeling that to students is so important, because as adults, we all have said, you know, we, because of shame or our unworthiness, we're not coming to him mm-hmm. in a transparent way. And that it's robbing our relationship.
I love what you're talking about. And what I was thinking in my head, what you were just saying, is let the ugly out first.
Yeah.
Like, can you even get to a real prayer?
Just like David.
Exactly. Yeah. And exactly. That's what David did.
He wants us to praise him.
He let his flesh, he had to mm-hmm. get through his flesh. It was like, let me burn off this flesh. And then as he would do that in a lot, in most of the Psalms, you'd see a switch, and he would burn off that flesh, share all of his emotion, the rawness of it. But then it would often turn into a prayer. And I think that's how you really bring yourself before the Lord. You have to, so to stifle or to push down your real feelings and then come to the Lord and have some rehearsed prayer.
It's just shallow.
Is shallow mm-hmm. and false. And that's the point. It's not like, okay, everybody be angry at God all the time. No, the point is like he wants the real thing. So if you bring yourself before him, understanding both who he is and having a fear of the Lord, but also knowing that he loves you and he desires to be with you, and he needs you to let out that flesh and then get into the real with him. And just like we have conversations with each other, like I think about even as a team or with our families, mm-hmm. as we grow in emotional intelligence, we encourage each other to go, okay, what's really going on? Help me, tell me that, so we can get to a level in conversation where it's real. Mm-hmm. And then we can, but I can contain your mess for a minute. Yep. So let it out, you know?
I heard once a pastor say in a podcast that you probably shouldn't always be cussing at God in prayer, but you should feel the freedom to when you need to.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, and the point isn't the cussing or anything like
totally.
That. It's the real emotion.
It's about the real
emotion.
It's about
being real. Yeah.
Not
and,
hiding
and
it.
Exactly, letting God see you. And that's what I, one of the Psalms I read towards the end of that sermon was out of Psalm 139, which is a really interesting Psalm, and it's very intimate. He talks about, oh, Lord, you've searched me and known me. Well, David lived a life that allowed God mm-hmm. to search him and know him. And that's kind of what you're talking about right now is like you're letting your real self see. That's the funny part is God already knows what's going on.
Yeah, and I think the cool part is like God is the only one that you can truly be 100% raw and authentic with. Like it's not socially acceptable for you to be like and let all your ugly out, yeah. But God can handle that. And then exactly what you're saying, once you burn that off, you're able to see reality. It gives you a perspective that you can see the goodness of God in your life and the blessings that he's given you and say, oh, wow, now that I'm freed of all of that crap I've been holding because I can't get it out anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I can praise you.
Yeah,
now I can love you.
A note to add to that, speaking on that same Psalm 139, towards the end, he actually has a moment where he's like, David's like, destroy all my enemies. He has like one of that moment. But then the beautiful part of the closing in that psalm is after he says that, he goes, but search me, O God, and know my heart.
Yep.
Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any great grievous way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. So after he kind of spews this like kind of that junk that we're talking about, him spewing that junk before the Lord, being honest, all of a sudden gives him the reality, the perspective that he needs to pray the right thing. And he invites God into his junk and saying, but if I'm wrong, correct
me.
Here
we go.
Yeah. And that's just amazing. What an amazing example. So let's keep leaning into, and you said, back to that first question.
Yeah, I was about to go there.
Sweet. What's your perspective? Why do people not pray?
Yeah. So, I'm going to say people, meaning me, I don't pray because of self-sufficiency. I hear, you know, not really the way that I was raised, but I feel a deep desire to get things done by myself, not ask for help, and just power through, put my nose down, and make it happen. And I've learned that that is not a great way to live my life, but that is still the default that I go to every time with the Lord.
Yeah.
And it is shameful. Like I feel shame about that. And I know that there's so much love when I choose to, or when I realize that, and then I can go to the Father and be like, well, I've ignored you for X amount of time and let's chat because this is wild. And I, you know, or hey, random conversation with God, this is what's going on in my life. And just, hey, I remembered you. Let's have a chat rather than I don't need to do this by myself. What are your thoughts, God? You know, I've racked my brain for the past 72 hours on this topic and I'm getting nowhere. Probably should have talked to you about 74 hours ago and asked your opinion, but I'm coming to you now.
Yeah.
So well, what are your thoughts,
You're God? Talking about relationship, and this is really where the point of this is relationship and communication. And I think about our natural relationships with each other. And if we don't communicate, we often are stuck wherever the relationship or the trauma or wherever left off. And so what often happens for a relationship, not only to grow deeper, but to move forward, is we have to have difficult conversations with people where we share our feelings. And we have to do that same thing with the Lord. What I was thinking about when you're talking, Ange, is how when we're quiet and we internalize all that and we don't do that, we actually get stuck and we spin in wherever we're at. And that is detrimental to the relationship.
And this is exactly what I was going to come into is you have to have a level of humility.
Yes.
And also when we are in our own heads, we assume so many things and we create false narratives that allow a train of thought and an amount of unhealth and damage and trauma that we do to ourselves because we do not have a level of maturity to have the conversation upward or, like you were saying in human terms, to have the difficult conversation. So we create a narrative in our mind about a person, a scenario, a circumstance, and that is our belief system rather than the reality of having the difficult conversation. Yeah. Oh man, I made so many assumptions about what you were going to say and you understand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't have to be mad at you or I don't have to feel hurt by what you said. And how often do we do that to God?
Yeah.
We assume that he's going to be mad at us or bring shame or fill in the blank. But when we bring it to God, what do we actually get? We receive love. Mm-hmm. There's always correction. That sucks so bad. There's always going to be consequences to our actions or our inactions. However, what are those totally laced and embraced with?
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah. And you feel that. There's freedom.
Totally.
So through that, through that discipline and love, that truth and love, you actually get free.
Totally.
So I'm going to go back to being in your head.
Totally.
Where you were at.
And there are a lot.
This is
thinking the same thing.
We're doing a musical montage later.
It's getting real.
But being in your head is a real thing for pretty much all of us.
Totally.
I mean, we create this narrative, our thoughts, they just go crazy and they circle and they spin. Here's one of the common things that I've always heard, and what I thought also growing up is, and you're told this, and we know that God knows our thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. But everybody says, well, I just pray in my head. Okay, so you just pray in your head, and you have a narrative going on in your head, and you have a like all of this chaos in your head, and the biggest thing I always hear is I can't quiet my thoughts. And then I try to pray.
I love this.
And so I'm trying to speak to God in my head, and I'm trying to quiet my thoughts in my head, and I'm trying to stop this narrative in my head. You got to say things out loud.
Yeah,
you have to talk. Yeah, so here's how we're created is to speak our conversation. I can't think to you, Shane. I can't think to you, Jacob, or Angie.
Come on.
And you can't hear me.
I don't want to.
Come get inside my head.
I don't want to hear what you're thinking.
It's a party.
You don't want to
You don't want to be in there. It's
but
terrifying.
It's the same with God. We're wired to speak to him. And
Amen.
When you actually say what you want to say to him out loud, those thoughts in your head begin to quiet.
Totally.
Because you've become engaged in a real conversation.
Dude.
You've made it something that is actually happening.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be loud. You don't have to scream. You don't have to walk down the street. But, you know, when you're speaking to him out loud, as he wants you to speak to him, as a friend, as someone who can hear your stuff, as someone who can speak back to you, you become engaged in prayer.
That's good.
And we don't really talk about that. Like, oh, that's weird. You're talking to yourself. No, I'm not. I'm talking to God. He's sitting right here listening to me.
Right.
So you mentioned like frames of mind, but my mind just went to like the different like arenas that we pray in. So like there are those times that we go before God in boldness and speak to him and we have an agenda and we ask him for things. And but then there's times like, we're praying in the spirit, or I just need to sit in silence before the Lord and listen to what he has to say. Like I've said what I need to say, or what about corporate, like corporate prayer too? Like what are your guys' thoughts on like your attitude and prayer for all those different arenas?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll segue back to what Mike was talking about. And Angie said, you said humility. It takes humility, and I will say to verbalize prayer takes humility.
Yes,
because a lot of people don't pray because they feel foolish to open their mouth and pray, but there's power in their words, and there's power and freedom in when you learn to pray like that. So connecting that back to what you're saying, Jacob, I think it is important to know that there's various types of prayer. There's different environments of prayer. And they're not all the same. The fact that you're praying is the same, but there is different expressions, just like worship, and prayer is a form of worship as well. And I guess for me, I'm often with, I'll just use myself for example. When I'm praying by myself and nobody's around, I often am way more vocal, and I have all those moments we've talked about to this point. But then oftentimes what's interesting is it's usually happens in movements. I'll be loud, I'll maybe share my junk, but then I'll praise the Lord and I have like different ways in which I pray. I'll ask for things or pray for people. And usually what also happens within that time of prayer is a time of silence. Mm-hmm. And just because actually it's the same thing when you have a conversation with somebody. Once you get it out all on the table, you discuss things, the conversation has moved forward.
Ready to listen.
And now you're ready to listen, and there's different movements. And so so take that. But then also, it's different when you're in corporate prayer, for example, because maybe you're praying for someone or something. Like we have moments where we pray for Israel as a group, as a church body, or We're praying for a certain topic or things like that. And all of those are, to me, those are, you know, all valid. Those are all biblical, all scriptural, and all valuable. And it's, I would look at it like God, how he's interacting with us individually versus a small group, versus a larger group, versus a whole congregation, large group. It's different, almost different ways of interacting just by the amount of people. If somebody else, feel free to jump in. Those are just some thoughts I have to what you said.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess it depends on, even corporate prayer, it depends on the environment that you're in. There's times, you know, we're in church and we're praying with and for the congregation or for the service. And you hear sometimes people agree with you in prayer and they're more listening to what you're praying. But I think when we have, let's say, like a prayer meeting and you're all gathering together to pray corporately, yet individually, many times in those situations, everybody else is quiet and they're waiting for the one person to stand up and pray, where the whole purpose of it is that we're all gathering to speak to God together. And I think sometimes in those, it's not a look at me, look at me, look at me kind of a situation, but still, let's get a little vocal talking to God, because if I'm just sitting there in silence with a whole bunch of people, I'm still letting my thoughts go crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, corporate prayer, ministry time, we're gathered together and somebody leads that prayer. We agree with them. We may pray in the spirit behind and underneath, not as a show, but as a bolstering to the prayer. There's so many different ways, and it's beautiful on the way we can boldly come before the throne. And it goes back, I think we've all said it, it's the relationship that you build in your private prayer. And one of the best things I think I've ever heard is you will never worship more corporately than you do privately. And so if you've never fostered this prayer life, this relationship, this I can be bold and vulnerable and raw and joyful and all the things with God the Father in my own time, I'm never going to do it with a bunch of people watching me.
And then adding a layer to that, you have it in your personal relationship with him, and then you still allow fear and all of the other layers to, you know, you hide behind those curtains rather than unleashing that relationship. Like the power, imagine if I'm speaking to myself here, but I imagine if I were able to pray or worship in music ministry like I do at home or by myself. Whoa. Imagine, like, or we'll use the example of singing in the car or singing in the shower. I don't sing in the shower, but I built in the car. Like people have their safe areas that they feel totally able to let loose and speak to God.
Yeah.
And how do we create environments and equip people to feel comfortable to just go there?
Yeah.
And that, what I love is watching the youth and watching kids pray, because if you can foster that, then, because they don't care. They're totally have no inhibitions in, you know, in Kids Rock. How do we continue to nourish that relationship and foster that environment where corporate church is a place where they can just love Jesus, if it's loud or if it's quiet, or worship with their hands up? You know, there's that awkward middle school and high school time where, you know, I look like an idiot, but then they come back from camp and they're like, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, they're motivated. And then what are we doing as adults? Like, you know, we're not at the club. This isn't the cool place. But why are we allowing fear to totally inhibit us from worshiping and praying and, you know, prophesying over people, speaking words of encouragement? Just that's what's on my heart with this, of like, if we can do in public what we do in private, dang.
Yeah. So a couple of thoughts I had while you're talking is, group prayer really helps me feel connected to people and really know their heart, which is really cool. Also, more words doesn't mean more powerful prayer.
Absolutely. Right.
And I was just thinking about a scenario that happened in my life years back. And out of desperation, I cried out, Jesus, help. And that was the only words I had. We had already done all the praying. We had done all the stuff. And I just remember it was super cool because we cried out. I cried out, Jesus, help. And then that was like the prayer that changed
unleashed
things.
It.
Yeah, that unleashed it. And it's important going back to encouraging those out there. So you don't need to have a bunch of fancy words. Nope. You need to have real words. Mm-hmm. And then teaching our kids like that too, because they don't have a bunch of fancy words. But you know what? Their prayers are no less important than anybody else's prayers.
And how are we modeling that to
right.
them? Like, are we inviting our children, you know, the kids around us? You don't have to have kids, but like the children around you or the people you have influence over, like, how are you inviting them into that space in your life?
Yeah. And I've worked with some churches in the past that they made a point to have kids on their prayer team and things like that.
That is
and they
so
would,
rad.
They would just teach them to lay hands on them and just pray their prayer. And I can't tell you how many, there was so many, instances of like miraculous healing or breakthrough deliverance because, and it's not some fancy prayer. It's really relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work. And so they would place their little hands on them and say like three or four or five words, you know, and then the person's just totally wrecked, having an amazing encounter with God. And that's how we do it. And we can do that in our own home. So parents out there listening, make it real simple. Remind your kids that they have the same Holy Spirit that you do, and their words matter, and just empower them to open their mouth and pray, you know?
Well, yeah, and to answer my own question, I guess going back a little bit, for me, it's I do like to pray like by myself, but in a group of people, you know, like corporate prayer that way, because I agree with what you said, Shane. It does help me to see and feel people's hearts for the Lord in those situations. And I'll say that as far as like other times of prayer, you mentioned it for you a lot of time. It's like one session, you're hitting all these different kinds of prayer. And for me, it's like I get distracted so easily. So I like try to carve out like specific times or like I'm going to pray about this now. And then later today, when I go back to pray, I'm going to pray about this, or I'm going to just sit before the Lord. And I think a lot of that comes into how we display it for others too, because like a lot of creating a culture, whether a culture of prayer or a culture of anything, is how you display it, how you live it out. So especially for kids, but for just in a church, in a corporate setting, that if people see what we're doing and they know the model that we're following, they're much more likely to follow suit and get on board, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's better caught than taught, meaning like, you know, especially with kids, they'll mimic what they see in the environment around them.
Yep. And that's a lot of the issue that we see with kids today is that, I mean, they're spending 9 hours a day with people who don't care about their future.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they seeing at home?
Yeah, exactly. So I have another thought to pivot a little bit. We were talking about why don't people pray. I think another aspect of why people don't pray is because at some time they've prayed and asked for something and they didn't get it. So then they go, well, screw that. It doesn't work. You know,
sadly, not a genie.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
so,
that be great?
And that's, you know, that's the hard part. So I'll have you guys jump in. Like, where... Tell me about that. What do you think, and what have you experienced? What have you heard from people? Let's go there.
I've had my own prayers unanswered many times.
Amen.
And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's just you have to understand the relationship of father, son, really, to go back and understand why doesn't God just give me everything I ask for? Well, I'm not an entitled, spoiled brat. That's why. And
you can't handle that.
I'm either not ready and it's coming. Two, it's not right and you aren't going to get that. Three, it's answered. That's pretty much it. And how does a good father treat his children? He doesn't give them everything they want. And if he does, guess what?
You got a problem, man.
Oh, it's a bad deal.
Problem.
And we see that so often. I want to be their friend rather than their father.
That's
God
not a
isn't
good father.
He's a friend and a father, but he's perfect in both. And so you have to understand that relationship. I've prayed before. I can remember when I first started getting into ministry in a real way. And I hit this point early on, and it was, I'm really glad God said no, but I was ready for my own church. I'm ready. God, I've got it all figured out. I know the answers. I know exactly where I'm going, and I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And I actually said, God, I'm going to just start. And I started putting out resumes and applying at these churches all over America. And nobody called me back. Nobody gave me a second thought. And I just was like, why is this? I'm ready. And finally, something, I can't remember exactly what happened, but something happened that pretty much floored me. And I said, yeah, I'm not ready for a church. I don't think I ever want a church. Yeah. I am good with just being back in the background now. I don't want that. And, you know, I've grown a lot in the last 10 years. But in that moment, if God would have just said, yeah, go for it, I probably would have damaged so many lives. Yeah. I would have hurt so many people. It would have been a mess. And God said, no. Mm-hmm. Is it a bad thing? No, he knew it was best for me.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes mercy doesn't feel good.
Yeah. Totally.
Right. That's for sure.
So true. But
it almost feels alienating when our deepest desires and God's will don't line up.
Boom. Mm.
But then when you have that chance to look back and say, oh, God saved me from something that could have wrecked me.
Yep.
Yeah. Now that I'm the age I am and just in the half life, I guess I've lived, I see so much of that, Jacob. And I just look back and I'm like, thank you so much, God. But I was so hurt in the moment when I wasn't getting what I desired. I brought this up that Sunday, but, Isaiah 55:8-9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Pretty much saying, in reality, we're saying, hey, God knows it all. He's got a better plan. Trust him in his plan, because if you choose to do it your own way, you're going to mess stuff up. And if you really want God's intervention in your life, trust how he does things. It's going to be better than you think. And because the reality is my desires are skewed. They're full of my flesh. I can't even tell you, but I've used so many Christianese things to kind of explain my desire and why it's valid and why it's important, when really all it had to do was, it was all
with
about
me.
Yeah.
You're right.
And so, you have those things. You have those things. I think one of the harder parts to that is when we pray for something for somebody else, or for I think one of the hardest ones is a healing, mm-hmm. Where you're contending for a healing for somebody, and it doesn't happen. And that is hard. And the quick answer is that we don't have answers for that. Except for, we know that healing will happen now or later.
Yep.
It's one or the other for the Christian. So it's either going to happen now.
Your prayer's going to get answered.
Get answered. The part that we struggle so much with death here on the earth, that it's such a big deal to us. When you see it from heaven's perspective, it's not. If you're a believer and your eternal security is with Jesus, you go to a better thing, a better place where all is well and perfect.
Scotty, get me out of here.
But we really struggle with that, because in the same way that we pray for ourselves, we don't want other people to suffer and disappear for ourselves. There's a part of selfishness in our prayer. Obviously, we wouldn't want people to suffer, because we don't want that. But a lot of times we're just afraid to have to live the rest of our years on this earth without that person. And that's absolutely real. That's absolutely true.
It's just a selfish thing, but it's very real.
And I think God can empathize and sympathize with that. Obviously, he did when he walked the earth as Jesus. He raised Lazarus from the dead. But guess what? Lazarus died again.
Yep.
And he is in heaven for eternity, right? And we'll see him one day in a new heaven and a new earth. We'll encounter him. But the reality is, this world's fallen, and that is, it's just hard. It is just a hard. There's scenarios and situations where people, where we're reaping the sin of the earth, and we will. That is guaranteed until Jesus comes back. Until there's a new heaven and a new earth. We are in this sin. Sin is a cancer of the earth. It's eating it alive, right?
So I, again, this goes back to your relationship with the Father. And Jesus says it, obviously, the best.
No way.
Yeah, right? What Jesus says is the best. But he says he himself doesn't do anything unless the Father tells him to do it. So all the amazing miracles and signs and wonders and things that happen in the Bible were only done because of his relationship with his Father, with what he said to do. And in those moments, he was obedient every time. Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't, a selfish, for lack of a better term. Sometimes it's a selfish prayer. I want to see this person healed rather than God said they need to be healed.
And where's the heart?
Why is my heart there? Yeah. If, you know, I believe in praying. If you come up and you want healing, I'm going to pray for you because Jesus says to go out and do it. But it's not on me.
Right.
It's on God. He's the one that makes the ultimate decision, and I'm being obedient in what he's asked me to do. And so if it's not an answered prayer, maybe it's not answered the way I want it. Maybe it's not time. I don't know. But the relationship is, what did God tell me to do?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, and the great thing about having a good relationship with your Father is that a good Father does want to give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we pray for things and God does give them to us. And it's awesome.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, for anyone listening who's like, oh man, God's not going to give me what I want. He might. He might. So keep praying.
Well, here's an interesting part to that is the things that I've wanted, that I've asked for, that I didn't get, were not actually what I wanted. And then he would give me something that's so much deeper. And then I go, oh, that's what I wanted. I didn't even know what I really wanted.
He knew, and
he made it happen. Mm-hmm. And then you're so fulfilled in your heart and life because you're like, oh, he knew my heart's desire better than I did. And that's what's really cool is when those moments happen and you're like, whoa.
I want to ping off of this one. So I was talking to somebody just the other day about prayer and about, you know, our past, and we can't imagine, you know, knowing where we would be now. Like if you would have asked me 10 years ago that I was on the staff of the Rock Church and I'm preaching in front of people, like, and all of these other details, there is not a chance that I would believe that would happen.
Right.
Like, not happening at all. it's insane. But those tiny little yeses, those tiny revelations, those almost minuscule answers to prayer or steps of faith that I had no idea what I was really asking for, or I will trust you in this very, very little way.
Yeah.
All of those tiny little yeses lead to, you know, those 1% shifts change massive trajectory. And not only that, but when you look back at your life, you say, wow. I look back at my life and I say, wow, I cannot, there's no way I would have even known what to ask for to get me to this point. There is not a desire of my heart that I had that would get me to this place. Mm-hmm. And so those small prayers, those small steps of faith, I think are those, you know, but those 1% off, danger, danger, danger. And those are, you know, potentially those are the reasons why he says no.
Right.
Like, okay, you're asking for these things, but that's that 1% off that's going to really get you into crazy doctrine or like into a cult or into, you know, like, I mean, seriously, right. I'm not trying to be a sketchball, but like for real, those are the things that get us into weird situations.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is no. And then you look back and say, God, thank you for your faithfulness when I was a total idiot and I made what decisions was I making for that decade?
Like, that totally takes like a sensitive ear to what God's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember back, I don't remember how many years ago, but I was a part of a ministry that was really thriving and it was going the right direction. And there was just a fire and a specialness to this place. It was a place for youth. And one time I can remember hearing some teaching that started to come into it and it really flagged me. I said, that's not right. Mm-hmm. So I started to discuss it with the leaders and I was 100% in, 100% in. And this teaching started to become a prominent thing. And I said, we can't teach this to youth. This is not something this isn't right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I eventually ended up having to walk away and it hurt my heart. And 2 months later, the whole thing fell apart.
Yep. Oh, wow.
And I was like, man, that, you know, it was just as you were saying that 1% off.
Quickly.
It started to go down this path of I would almost say false doctrine, and it was a quick fall. It was a quick fall.
Yeah. So I want to get back to something here with the relationship, because prayer is about the relationship, and we this is what's so different from other religions and other things, is God desires to have this relationship with us. And prayer can take many forms. We've talked about different forms and environments and groups of people or on your own, but ultimately this is a relationship, and we have a living God. And in the same way that we should be praying, we should also be listening, which we've touched on. And that's really important too, is to create space and time for this. It takes intentionality. And I want to add a couple of things to why prayer matters. Is it, this prayer is communication. It's building relationship with God, and that relationship and prayer works to transform us. And part of what we were talking about, not getting what we wanted, and God really knowing the desires of our hearts, and Him working with us and through life and through our free will and all these things, we become more like Him. And even to the point of what you're talking about, okay, well, He saved you from that ministry ultimately, and saved you from getting caught up in that. I have similar experiences where I desired to be with a group doing a certain thing, and I was on track to be working with them, and God cut it off.
Yeah.
And I was so hurt, but now I look back and I'm like, thank you, Lord, you saved me, right? And now I'm more me, and I'm more like Him than I was then. And again, this is about relationship. Like, kind of summarizing this, I love how, Angie, you talked about humility. It takes humility. You have to surrender to open your life. It's the same as any other relationship, but to open your life to God, open your heart, your mind, begin to talk to Him, there is a humility. Find your places, whether it's in your car, like you talked about singing and stuff like that, but a lot of times I pray in the car, or I'll come here, I'll find a place, you know, create a prayer closet, get up at a certain time, find the time where you're alone, you know, pray with people, pray in front of your kids, also pray alone, talk to God. And I think when you hear Paul talk about pray without ceasing, there's this aspect of, make it a relationship, an ongoing relationship, not a, hey, I'm going to wake up and do one prayer at 6 a.m. and then I'm done praying for the day. Yep. Really, what the heart of what he's talking about is, let this flow. Let this relationship flow throughout the day. Talk with God, include Him in what you're doing. And that's what we're trying to encourage with people here.
Yep, absolutely.
You guys have any closing thoughts?
Get real. Just get real. It's He wired you to be you, and He wants to hear from you, not your language from somebody else.
Yep. Yeah, that's good. Or even the words from somebody else. Mm-hmm. Have your own words.
Yeah, open up your heart and just let Him see who you are. He knows who you are, but He wants you to invite Him into that.
Yeah,
definitely.
I would say God is a holy and righteous King, but He's also a Father that's deeply interested in everything in your heart. So you should feel free to share that with Him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Angie, why don't you pray for us and we'll end today's podcast.
Okay. God, thank you for this time of fun and digging in. God, I pray that this is a blessing to you for our hearts to be revealed in our intentions with prayer. God, I pray that this is inspiring to people to be real and have an authentic and transparent relationship with you, God, that you desire us. You made us, but you desire us to welcome you into the real personhood, the real everythingness of us. God, we thank you. We praise you. Bless us this week as we do the things. And God, I just pray a blessing over everybody that is hearing this today. God, I pray that you would illuminate the beauty of your creation to them in unique and beautiful ways. We praise you and we love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.